The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning to you, Mr. Thomas.
Yes. Good morning to you and the audience.
So how are things with you? And tell us a little bit about the association and what steps we've been taking so far in terms of the differently abled.
Thank you so much for that question. To the United Nations Chapter of Disabled Peoples International, as an organization that has been around since 1985, that promotes the human rights and dignity, non-discriminatory of persons with disabilities here in Thailand. We are here at the Ebron,
40 years
at the Ebron.
Mr. Thomas, I believe that your microphone is a little muffled, so we're hearing you in and out. Can we see if we can get a clearer microphone for you?
My phone was ringing at the same time I tried to find it for that. I think that was, I caused that upset.
All right. So today we're also talking about to announce plans for the differently abled in terms of a fleet of maxis that are designed specifically for the disabled community. Can you tell us about that initiative? How did you first start it, and what were some of the challenges you faced in getting this off the ground?
All right. We'd like to let the listening public know that with some disabilities, we challenge really the transportation. Just being mobile as a person with disabilities out is a dream challenge. And we know that the government of Trinidad Tobago, they have a mandate to provide transportation for everyone, not just people, but persons with disabilities. And we see right now that the government of Trinidad Tobago and PTSD has failed for disabilities as relates to providing this essential service to our community. And we are making a plea this morning, I mean, I'm talking about this particular issue, for the government and whoever is in charge of providing health damage service, that they can come. We wrote numerous letters to the ministry, to PTSD, even citing some of the junior ministers who's responsible for ensuring that these amenities are put in place, and we are following their days. And we show it fit that we have to do for ourselves. We can't wait for the government to then whenever they're ready or they get the policy, they will do something for us. We joined for that, we will reach out to corporate. Now, we did reach out, and I know that this particular project is still going on, so I wouldn't want to speak prematurely on a lot of things that have been in the pipeline, but we want to try to provide a reliable, effective, and efficient service for our members of the international. So the first, really, is to engage with having the required bus with the lift and the rails, etc., so that we can be able to do our mobilization efforts, people who have to go to school, people who have to go to the clinic, people who have to do recreation, whatever it is, we will then have a dialogue system. The dialogue will be our buses, they come to you, they pick you up, they drop you off, just in operation, just like our arrangement. And the sustainability part of it is that when someone will have to be $300 and $400, $500 sometimes, mm-hmm. to be transported to and fro, we will then do it as a subject cost because you're a member of the Trinidad Tobago Chapter of the People's International.
So is it that the discussions are still ongoing to have it subsidized or sponsored? Are there any corporate entities that have been... you said it was a little difficult. You did reach out and not you didn't get much of a response at this time, but who has responded so far?
All right. I would like to say thank you to Ms. Penny Gomez, Indian Currency and Team and Digital, who have been seeking some type of interest in the project and the proposal that we sent them. And as I said before, it's still in the premature stage. You know what I mean? But we're hoping that based on where we are now, in terms of the entire process, that it looks good on our behalf. And as I said, this will be a pilot project. But the overall goal is to ensure that we have buses in the entire region, the region, regional assembly, Chief of Trinidad and Tobago, so that we can be able to offset the transportation rules of business and disabilities on the island.
How many
much bigger
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Well, I just came to shout out to Ms. Penny Gomez, the Digital Foundation. Mm-hmm. We're even seeking some type of interest in our project proposal. And as I said, the proposal has been a nice stage right now, and I'm hoping that all is approved and we can be able to have an initial buzz so that we can be able to transport and reach out to the government.
Do you have an idea of how many buses would be needed to have this service effectively carried out across the country and Tobago?
All right. Our organization is structured where we have 5 regional assemblies. We have 8, West, North, South, Central, and Tobago. And we are saying that from Tobago, we can probably have like 2 to 3 buses there. The East, because I think that the East is more populated, and our membership is growing. Because we are seeing now that most of the members, the people who are prisoners, they are not prisoners that you see on the everyday. They are not everyday Jews. Some of them are bedridden. Some of them, they just shut in. They don't come outside because there isn't any services that cater to the needs of prisoners. And you have to remember this. A person with a disability receives a grant of only $200 a month, which pays the like $56 a day. So when you take $400 from your disability grant, the public who are just going to the bank for a clinic appointment, that means that you're the minimum just to barely survive the rest of the month. Because you find that with disability, they survive once a month. Sometimes, beginning to the first week, they have no money to carry them to the rest of the week. So, we are saying that we will want to have at least about 20 buses, and this is just a small amount because when we look at the population of prisoners with disabilities who live on the island, we're talking like about 7% of that population, which might equate to 100,000 prisoners that we will want to cater to. And that is a drop in the bucket compared to what we will want to achieve. So at least it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can be able to do for ourselves. We'll have to create opportunities. We will have prisoners for the drivers, prisoners for the part of the call. The call center, you know, so it's an opportunity now out of the pregnancy syndrome of having the pregnancy for the month or so. You know, so the holistic approach in terms of what we're doing, and then we'll tie into what we're doing with the supermarket association, where we are looking for discount for our membership, where we are looking to see how best we can get businesses, fitness and wellness, relating with some of the gyms and businesses that they will buy into.
You briefly mentioned another initiative that you're actively seeking in terms of for your membership, discounts at the supermarket and discounts at gyms. I would think on that agenda would be accessibility to these places as well, seeing as there's been a serious call to really analyze when developing certain areas, let's say city, suburban areas, to include accessibility points for the disabled. How has that initiative been going for you?
Right, so the situation regarding the gym, we just came out of a meeting with the manager of the Evolution Gym, and I want to say good morning to Mr. Rondell and team down there at the Evolution Gym. And also, in terms of us creating an MOU with Evolution, and we want to probably transcend into all the other gyms that have accessibility, because I let you know that Evolution Gym is one of the gyms that is fully accessible. From each floor, you come in, you have your wheelchair park, you go to the elevator, you come up the ramp, you go to the elevator. There's 3 floors where you can be able to go to the different levels of the gym, accessibility in the washroom. So I want to commend Mr. Rondell and the Evolution Gym for ensuring that people with disabilities can be included, because most times, especially as relates to the environment, most times we're included. And that is something that I believe that will transcend especially with business. We now talk about 7% of the population. So we have 100,000 citizens who might be willing to want to just come out and be a part of a gym regime where they can be able to promote their health and the overall sense of well-being. Health and well-being. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that for me, I that was one of the things for me personally. If I wanted to actually say, oh, I need to go back to the gym, I need to get his belly done, I need to be more fit, you know. You're getting a little older, so you want to be prime in terms of your health, because, you know, we are sometimes going to the health challenge. Hyper pressure, etc. Those are some of the things that we want to propose as well, not just looking at issues that we are plagued with, but one of some of the things that we have direct control over, which is our health.
And I also have a flyer here, family day that you all will be doing very soon, fun and family day. Can you tell us a little bit about that, where it will be, and who are the partners that you've worked with to make this happen?
Okay, excellent. So, the Trinidad Tobago Chapter of the Disabled People's International, we have not had a family day in the last 16 years. 16 years is a lifetime for both. And when I came into the organization, and even when we created all the various group chats, various regions, you know, maybe it wasn't necessary because some of the prisoners have not seen each other physically. You know, maybe they interact virtual by the WhatsApp messages. So everybody knows the name, but they don't know the faces or they have it physically. And one of the things that I know that was seen and gathered some type of you know, boosting of morale and camaraderie and the coming together of people. You know, I think that this definitely will spell you know, the team, another person doing things that, you know, something like a lot of people who are blind or people who are deaf, you see things from a different perspective. And we so intend that we will engage in this activity on Sunday, the 7th of July, 2024. We will be at the Marvin Lee Stadium in McCoya, where we will have a full day of activities. We're talking about that dance school, the battle talk. We're talking about fire truck display. The fire services will be there to engage with all the activities, the police youth club. We have teams coming from as far as Matlot, people coming from as far as Point Fortin, people coming from as far as Diego Martin. And each region will be represented by a color code. So we have the North will have green, the East will have pink, red coming from Tobago. So it is a full day food and drink on sale. First, we engage with some of the NCPD and South as a school and South for people with disabilities. We engage with some of the NGOs to come out and be a part. So everybody is coming under the umbrella of CTTDPI to really engage in a full day of activities for persons with disabilities, and not just persons with disabilities, but to be able to, you know, we know there's something that I when we were planning this, we said that this is not just about persons with disabilities. This is about engaging persons who are able-bodied as well to be a part of, because if we are asking for inclusivity, we cannot segregate. So we said that, hey, we need to get able-bodied persons to be a part of this as well. And then that was one, create the sensitization and real need that persons with disabilities and able-bodied persons can coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And we can help each other. You know?
And I think from that level of awareness, of understanding what are the challenges that the disabled community face, then you would have more people who are, as you say, who are able-bodied to, you know, give their assistance or expertise where applicable. And I think it's just being aware of the issues makes it a lot easier to solve them.
Definitely, because of the activities, when we will actually try to feel out some of the activities, you know, we say, hey, how we do this because we think it's talk over, how we pull it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we had to create, you know, where we had, actually, we'll get somebody who's able, but we might put somebody on a wheelchair, or we'll get somebody who is blind, and that place will lead them to our obstacle. All of these things were created by us members of our community, persons who are part of the plan. So we had to take outside of the box, but it's not the average sports and family day. It's something that is unique and different, and we can feel like this rather than go probably the Caribbean, because we can carry this anywhere. You know, so I think a lot of thought and effort would have gone into it. I want to give special thanks going out to Ms. Kathy Lala, or his manager, and hard working of his manager, people like Japra, all the people behind the scenes, all of the 40 days, 30 days, some of the people are coming out, as I said, from the various schools, especially Ball of Flair, Karat, all of these places play that instrumental role in ensuring that Fun and Family Day is a success. All right? On Sunday, 7th of July, we all start at the place. We'll be coming out and do something for us as well, too. You know, yeah, we have Akis on the park, we have Asa.
I see from the flyer that there will be games and activities, prizes and giveaways. Yeah, I see that Blaze and Sunny Bling from TBC Radio Network will be there hosting. And, well, live performances by Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service Band, Hilltoppers, Steel Pan Academy, Karen Eccles, Impulse, Fallon, and many, many more top local artists. I see that it's going to be a very interesting day. In terms of getting in contact with your association, what are some of the numbers? But before you do give me that information, I have two questions here coming in via our WhatsApp board. One person is asking, what happened to the 25 buses that they had on service before? And it would be a better idea, looking at the bigger picture, to get PTSD buses equipped to handle the disabled persons rather than having a separate service. I guess they were thinking of just upgrading what is already there. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. What I would like to say to that situation is that the buses were there commissioned in 2012 under the last government, or under the last Minister of Social Development, Mr. Glenn Ramadan Singh. And just to let you know is that the particular MOU that was signed, it was one agreement was signed. It was one with the Ministry of Social Development and PTSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that some breakdown in terms of communication, who was who was, from my understanding. And it was this, from a last PTSD meeting, it was said that they did not have only, I think it was 15 buses was down, how many, one was crashed. And what we are seeing that we cannot continue to operate on the buses that is probably not a fitting thing for us, but it's a fitting thing for us. If we have to make a call for any buses, we will want 25 buses, the new buses, that will be able to replace that fleet and ensure safety while traveling, while traversing through the streets of prison with the community. So we are asking the minister to draw attention to please. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas, that very, very last part, it started breaking up again. If you could repeat what you just said.
Thank you. I would
have reached out to the
office. I am asking, are you hearing me?
Barely. It comes and goes. I don't know if it's your microphone, but like I said before, it just comes and goes. But if you could just repeat. Now, basically what you're saying is that you would like, once again, for the minister responsible for disabilities in terms of getting the discussion happening again between PTSD and your association to accommodate those who are differently abled amongst us, to have that proper transportation. I know that the initiative that you've taken to move forward with getting your own fleet of buses has its own challenges, but probably in addition to that fleet having, if it is that PTSD already has these buses, probably a refurbishment drive is in order.
We would have reached out to PTSD in about 2019. When we liaise with our general manager, we get things to move forward. It's always like the next 6 months that general manager PS changes. We start back the ball from scratch again. And we always have to be going over recurring decimal over and over and over and over again. I tried to reach out to several email letters, to try to meet with the minister, the Honorable Ron Sinanan, that's what Deaf Ears, tried to reach out to the junior minister, Mr. Sukai.
Mm-hmm.
Sukai. On Deaf Ears, we decided that he will organize, he will speak with us. That meeting was 2 months ago. The meeting was scheduled and then it postponed for whatever reason. And I am saying to the Honorable Ministers, the Junior and the Honorable Duan Sinanan, please, the persons with disabilities are pleading with you, Mr. Sinanan, to organize, to put things in place for persons with disabilities as we did the transportation. We cannot continue to pay $400 and $300 to get transportation to move around. We want to move around clean like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And persons with disabilities have homes all the time We're talking about mental health challenges because you can't move around at the point. So we're just pleading this morning to rush upon. When the police service have to get vehicles, they move around with new vehicles all the time, and then they change vehicles like, so why can't we just get a vehicle that will change up our community? You know, if it's something that we need to put in on our budget and ensure that it happens, let us do that, because it will help our community to move around and live independent, active life and be contributors of society. You know, so we just make it that clarion call this morning. As I said, please meet with us. Please bring us to the table. Don't make any decisions without consulting with the members of the community, because there's nothing about us without us. We want to have us at the table, and we will let you know what is best for us, how will it work, what is the proper standards for the size of the RAM, etc., and then we can be able to move things forward in a more amicable way.
Well, with that call, many people who are listening on Freedom 106.5 FM right now are, you know, sending in messages. One in particular has reference to children providing schooling at a cost, well, a free cost for the children from 4+. They expected that a $1,500 disability grant would be used for private schooling that has a humongous cost, but these kids have medical needs of all sorts. Also, what about Eldermost buses? To get transport for these kids are impossible. So if the adults who have that voice to a certain extent is, you know, crying out for better transportation, could imagine children who don't really have a voice unless represented by adults.
Definitely, because we have to remember that these mothers of these children, they don't face with too many challenges already. Probably some of them can't even employment opportunities, because you have to stay one care about the child. You don't want your child to be undone, and you leave your child with any toxic and hurry and have your child just in that position there. You want to ensure that if you're carrying it to the children's school, that it caters to the overall development of a child with a disability. That will move it. Having to spend, let's say, $2,000 or $3,000 a month, I'm not sure what is the price of a private institution, and that will then give some kind of credence for our parents to go out and get a proper job so that they can be able to at least support something like that. But it's a lot. It is a lot. And that will then tie into the Ministry of Education. How much is the Ministry of Education doing to assist children with disabilities? Because I can give you one example of a lady in San Juan. She does a school with 30 children with disabilities. And she's doing an excellent job with Aisha in San Juan. And when you look at the catchment area that she focuses on in San Juan, it's like about a block. Mm-hmm. And in that block is 30 children with various types of disabilities, from autism, some with physical disabilities, some with some type of TB, etc. And when you look at the scope that she is dealing with, and you see exactly, well, how many other children are there who are out there who are not getting access to just the proper schooling?
All right, and I wanted to ask you again to give out information to, you know, members who are listening on Freedom 106.5 FM to be able to join your association so that representation can be, you know, more forthcoming for them. And also, what about, you know, volunteers? How do they get in touch with you? And how, basically, give out like your social media and so on.
No problem. Thank you so much for that again. So you can reach out to us via our office number, 228. That's 228-8115. That's 228-8115. Also, you can reach out to us at this number, 388-6734. That's 388-6734. You can look out for us on our Facebook page, TTDPI on Facebook. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all the social media platforms we are on, because we really want to connect with our members. For persons who have an interest in being a volunteer, yeah, man, we welcome volunteers. We don't have any shortage of we don't have any quantity of how many volunteers we will want, because we have volunteers coming from as far as Matura. Because let me just let you know this as well. We engage in a food support project that caters to persons with disabilities, funded and assisted by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this food initiative is where we give 100 food hampers to members of our community, because we realize, just coming back to the same $2,000 a month, how much food could a person purchase because of the rising cost of living? We have to be able to create a buffer. And to top it all off, persons with disabilities, it's been said at the ministry level that they cannot access a food card because they're already getting $2,000 a month. How ludicrous is that? How could you then tell a population that because they're getting $2,000 a month, that they cannot access a food card in this time here? So who are the beneficiaries of the food card right now? I'm asking a question. Who are the persons benefiting from the food card? When you take a food card from a mother with a child, or you take a food card from a guy down in Karen Eden, my good friend Ricky Panchan, who is better stand, my good friend down in Point 14, Miss Lister Mark in Point 14, who has no access, who has to pay $2,500 for her rent, and she collects $2,000, so she comes in with that deposit of $500. How is she going to eat?
Mm-hmm.
How is she going to eat every single month? To the mothers who cannot go and access employment opportunity.
Mr. Thomas, we just lost connection there for a second. Can you repeat that last thing? You just spoke about the mother that deficit of...
Right, so the mother with a child who cannot work because she has to stay home and see about her child, how could you tell me that $1,500 is enough to see about that lady with that child when that child has so many other medical diapers and medication? I know some people who have children with cerebral palsy, you have to pay like exorbitant prices just to get medications to help them with the seizures and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are not things that are subsidized from the Ministry of Health. They have to go and purchase these things. I know of my good friend down in San Fernando, Kim and her son. You know what I mean? And Kim has to do these things to ensure that her son remains alive.
Mm-hmm. And therapy,
come on. Like a normal child, to raise a normal child is money. And then you're telling me now, to raise a child with a disability, you're telling me that you want to give them this amount and that's supposed to be enough? So I'm asking a question, it might sound bold, but I'm just putting it out there. Ms. Donna Cox, could you survive on $2,000 a month? Could you? I asked the question to Chief Secretary Farley Augustine as well. I said, Chief Sec, could you survive on $2,000 a month? And he told me, no, he cannot. So we are making a benchmark of $2,000 a month, and then you put this means test, right? This means test. When you do your calculations with this means test, it pushing you straight out of the door to access any type of government services. So I'm asking the PS and the Minister of Social Development, I'll ask you to review that means test. We'll bring us to the table. Let us work an amicable arrangement out where we can probably raise the ceiling of the means test so persons with disabilities can be able to access government services. And it's only right that we do so, because they say that, what is our anthem? The last part of our anthem, every creed and race shall find an equal place. We're just asking for equality. That's all. That's all we're asking for.
And finally,
we want equality of property.
And from that will be, you know, actually coming together and sitting with the different organizations to have your concerns, you know, addressed.
Amalgamated. Right. And I think that is one of our problems here in Trinidad and Tobago and the region as well, too. I think that the problem is a unification thing. I think that everybody has their own ideologies. Everyone has their own missions and visions. Mm-hmm. But we all face the same challenges. And I'm making a public appeal to the blind welfare, to the deaf, to the Down Syndrome Family Network, Mr. Glenn Niles, all of these players that are instrumental in making some changes. My voice is very, very vocal here this morning. I will not be silenced. I will continue to advocate for my people. And I hope, and I just hope, that you all will want to come and sit on the table, mm-hmm. understand the complexities of our issues, whether we be different entities representing different facets of the community, that we continue to speak with one voice, because that's the only voice that we should speak from. Okay?
And finally, Mr. Thomas, let's talk about, the family day that's happening in the Marvin Lee Stadium, McCoy. The date is what date again? Sunday, the 7th of July. That's the date of the Fun and Family Day. And just briefly tell us who will be involved and how people can get in touch with you for tickets or how to be
definitely
part of it.
Definitely, we are small.
All right. So we're asking members to come out if you're representing the East, to come out in pink if you're representing the North, to come out in orange if you're representing Tobago, in red if you're representing Central, in blue if you're representing South, in green, and watch maybe coming out and we have in a day. We just going to show them what the disabilities can do, you know what I mean, how we can engage, because you know they feel like we just have to sit down and just do nothing. No, we are active. And our theme for the event, and I just want to just stress on this, is building resilience through active participation. And that will be demonstrated on that day. All right? Mm-hmm. I want to urge you members of our community, volunteers, if you want to be a part, if you want to be a corporate sponsor, we still need to get some items to make sure that the event is a success. And we have to transport people from Tobago. And we have to do that on our own. We'll be reaching out to people to try who the most have that responsibility to assist us. And as I say, most of it is just falling on deaf ears. And I think we're reaching a point where we maybe have we kind of fed up now. We kind of fed up, yeah, I believe so. I think that most of the members, when you hear them, it's like a sense of desperation and a sense of frustration. Mm-hmm. And I think we've tried the Fun and Family. Although it is that, I think right after there, we will have to kind of understand the direction in terms of the advocacy for persons with disabilities and take it to the next level. All right.
And finally, I see that you have vendor registration is still available. So those who are willing to come and ply their trade, the info for that or to donate to the cause is 771-1433-388-6734 and 228-8115. Any last closing comments, Mr. Thomas?
All right, thank you so much. I just want to thank you and also the members of the Freedom 106 family for engaging me for this much-needed discussion this morning. I think it was a breath of fresh air, you know, for me to air a little bit and kind of release some of my tension, some of the things that are creating desire so that I could be able to fall on the ears of those persons and be able to make a difference. I mean, you know, office there, come on, let's do what we have to do. Meet with the people. Get the thing done, because we can't get it done. It's not that something that cannot be fixed. I think that once we do what is right and we come out every day to do our day's work, we do what we have to do in the interest of our people, because that's what you're vowed to do. That's what you swore that vow to do that. And all I am saying to the members of the community, that let me just hold hard, let us continue to rally around ourselves. And I am saying that we can do what we have to do in our best interest. I mean, we really want for persons to come out on the day and have that day of fun. And yes, it's fun, but right after that, we go into battle mode because we need to get buses, we need to get housing for our people, we need to get grants, we need to get that disability grant up from $2,000, at least $3,000 a month, because we are spending state resources on every other thing. And we're seeing, not this regime, I'm not saying this regime or that regime, I'm just speaking in general. We're spending money here and there, and we are not seeing results in certain areas. But what we're saying, send some of that money into ensuring that the lives of patients can be benefited as a result. And that's what we're about in the DPI. We are about changing lives every single day. That's what we do.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thomas, for joining us here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And I'm sure we will talk again. Let's to see how to get that update on the transportation situation that you're hoping to alleviate.
Thank you so much, my dear. And as I say, it's a pleasure. And you have a blessed and a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. And we hope to see you on Sunday, all right?
I'll try my best.
Thank you so much. And so you are getting an invitation from me to be there. And you'll tell me how your day, probably after the next time, how your time was spending with the members of the invited me.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.